But in Matthew chapter 9, excuse me, in verse 27, the Lord really seemed to have preached another message on faith today. And the Lord just seemed to be burning that topic at this time, moving that direction. But in Matthew chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 27, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Now looking at verse number 29, we see the statement where we'll get the title from the message, which says, Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. So that's the title of the message today, According to Your Faith. Lord, we thank you again for just you being God. We thank you for showing once again that your word makes the difference. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that moves on the hearts of people. And Lord, we ask you to move once again. And we thank you. We ask that the hearts that you move upon will be willing to accept what you want them to know today. Thank you again for being such a marvelous, wonderful, saving God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Something very simple today. We'll just want to leave you with some thoughts that I think will help you. And I think we visited this passage recently, but like I said the other day, I could preach all the message about two or three times. It probably would help us all, but we'll look at this hopefully in a way according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Three things today is you look in verse number 27. First of all, we see the foundation for faith. The foundation for faith. You see two blind men, they're coming to Jesus, and they cry out to Jesus. The first thing they ask for is that Jesus, they said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. You know, the foundation for all the faith that we have is mercy. And mercy is undeserved kindness or favor. And the reason why that's such an important foundation, because if you remember that the foundation for faith is mercy, you'll always remember that it has absolutely nothing to do with your ability or my ability. When you cry out to God in mercy, because and every time you need help from God, it's by the mercy of God that you give it. Even when you rest upon the truth of God's word, it's by the mercy of God that you have the word of God before you, by the mercy of God that you can read the word of God, by the mercy of God that he allowed you to comprehend what was there, and by the mercy of God he's willing to honor his word and for his name's sake and for your behalf. And so these two blind men that could have stayed blind forever were in a situation, and they saw Jesus Christ. They didn't demand of him. They didn't expect of him. They asked for the one thing that God has available to every single person that will call for it, and that is mercy. They said, have mercy on us. And that was the foundation what they were calling for. They, no doubt at this time, heard enough about Jesus to believe that he could possibly do something in their behalf. But they did not really come to him with that. They still believe coming to him for mercy. Now, I understand we have boldness, according to the Bible, if you're saved, to go before the throne of grace. But even that is based upon the mercy of God. And as we humbly approach him, and you know, humility really does give a confidence, you know. Me and Brother Bell were talking on the phone just a couple of days ago. And it's he said, send the church's love, by the way. He still remember, has great memories of coming here when we had our 10-day revival meeting. And we were talking about thankfulness. You know, thankfulness really only comes by being humble. You know, because you have to be humble enough and low enough to really recognize that God has done something for you. And you have to be in a position, it's like sometimes when we say grace, it's not really, we're not really giving thanks, you know, because we just do it out of habit, you know, and different things we do. But when you really recognize what God has done for you, something on the inside said, I've just got to say something. You know, and I was looking at Christine back there, and I'm going to pick on her today for just a little bit. She had the Holy Ghost glow today. I mean, I never at any time during Thanksgiving time did she have the look on her face that she had today. You know, and she's given Thanksgiving testimony before. She said things she's thankful for. But you could just tell there was something, there was a well on the inside because, see, number one, she humbled herself to call upon God. And that brings forth the Thanksgiving, you know. And we see these two men, they were blind, they were helpless, and they were living, in other passages we see blind people, basically they just came, lived their life begging, depending on the help of other people. But when they saw the Savior, the God, the creator of the universe, walking in the flesh, they spoke and they cried out for mercy. And, you know, in your life, you need the mercy of God. And let me tell you, when the Bible rejoices that the mercies of God are new every morning. You know, and thank God for His mercy. So that's the foundation for faith. Number two, the confrontation of faith. The confrontation of faith. In verse 28, this is really what we've been doing. What we're doing right now in verse 28, we've been really just confronting our faith issues and through these past few messages. In verse 28, the Bible said, when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. Now they called for mercy. They knew intellectually that was the right thing to do, I believe. And we already read the story, so we know that by faith they believed it spiritually as well. But Jesus confronts them. Now you're asking me for something. He said, do you really believe that I'm able to do this? And many people, when that happens, when Jesus asks you that question, many times your faith stops right there. Because we say, maybe, Lord. And we say, I hope so, Lord. But they say, yea, Lord. They say, yea, Lord. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. And that's a good question for whatever we ask God for. Even when you cry for mercy. And believe ye. And Jesus knew everything. He knew why they were calling. He didn't ask them about healing their sight. There's another passage he does. But he asked them. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? I mean, thou son of David, they're given a title based on understanding the messianic prophecies coming down to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're identifying Jesus as the Savior. They recognize who he is, and they ask for mercy. And he said, though you know who I am, you're saying all the right things. But he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? It confronts your faith. You've been praying. I assume most of us here probably prayed this week about something. Did you believe that God was able to do what you asked him for? There should be something. And if there's a maybe or we're not so sure, then most likely you probably haven't had an answer yet. I was thinking this week, you know, because I was thinking about prayer. You always pray until you hear from God. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. I mean, sometimes God didn't answer the way that we want him to. The Lord really showed me something. I was praying this week, and I was, I think it wasn't yesterday, but I was walking Morgan. When I was walking and praying, and just, thank God, you know. And anyway. And Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times, according to the Bible, you can look at the story of later, that God would take the thorn away from him. And finally, after the third time, God spoke back to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul did not get what he wanted, but he heard from God, and the answer that he got gave him the ability to glorify God in the answer that he got. Because then he said, later he said he would rejoice. And in fact, why don't we look at it? Let me find it. 1 Corinthians, I'm pretty sure it is. The first or second. If you know exactly where it is, you can save us some time. But I won't mind if you tell me. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice it said in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And said, Lord, remove this from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now notice this. Now, since you heard from God, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So the end result of every prayer will be should be some type of joy in God. Because if you ask for the right thing, there'll be the glory of God. And if you hear from God, which you should on every prayer, at some point, then there's rejoicing. Because he didn't get what he wanted. He said, but God knows better than me. Most gladly will I rather rejoice, rather glory in my infirmities. Notice this, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That God can work through me, though I like to have this thorn removed, though I like to have this taken out of my life. But God, in this weakness that is in me, God, because obviously God was working through him anyway. So he thought, but I'm sure he thought, well, you know, Lord, it'd just be a little bit easier on me if you just got this thorn out of my way. He said, no, I'll glorify you with that thorn. And Paul, he rejoices after that. Let me go back to our text. This is, so when you're praying, pray believing. God will answer. I believe he always will answer. And he'll either answer, he'll grant you that which you request, or he'll give you some type of answer to let you know at some point what he's doing. Because God doesn't want to keep his children in darkness. Remember he said when we preached some time ago about he called you not servants but friends, because a servant knows not what his master doeth. See, a lot of times we really think we don't know what God is doing, but he really is doing something. We just have to believe. Based on your prayer life, do you believe that God is able to do it? And some, honestly, would never get to that point because they don't even ask anymore. Because they don't believe. Maybe because they don't even know God is Savior. Maybe because they know what they're asking for is for their own lust. And what they want is for their own lust, so they dare not ask God for it. But God confronts us because God really, I believe Jesus wanted to heal these men. But he wanted, what he's going to teach them next is he's going to make sure what they believe so they could be healed. Number three, explanation of faith. Now, the explanation. I should call this really the explanation of faith that works. The explanation of faith that works. And this is very simple. And this is just really basic thing we're going to look at today. But if you'll catch it as a simple, basic thing that it is, I guarantee you it'll change the way your faith is. Because the Bible said, beware lest any man corrupt you from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Now, then Jesus then touched their eyes, and he lets them know a truth here that is going to help them as they go forward in their life of following him. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, I looked at that word according just to see if there's any significant thought there, but it basically just simply means in accordance with, in agreement with. So in agreement with your faith, be it unto you. And I was thinking about this, you know, and I thought about this in my own life, and I thought about people that I know. God, and this is a statement God had me write down, God does exactly in your life what you believe he can do. God does exactly in your life what you believe he can do. The reason some are not saved today, because according to your faith, you do not believe that he can save you, or that he should save you. Or according to your faith, you don't believe that it's important for him to save you. Those that are saved, according to your faith, you believe that he not can, but has saved you in according with his word. The reason some people are faithful in church attendance, because according to your faith, you believe that that's important, and so you're able to make it to church. Some can't make it. Some people have desires to actually be in church today. But according to their faith, they don't believe that it's important, so they never made it. People that give financially, according to their faith, they believe that it's about working. They're able to do it somehow. When those can't, I remember the story, when me and Lara were in Frederick, Maryland, I was talking to the guy, one of the men at the church. He was saying, however many years ago, he had a job, and he was saying he wanted to tithe. And how did he say it exactly? But he said, Lord, I want to tithe, but I just can't afford you right now, or something. I said, and then the very next day, he said when things got a little better, he started tithing. And then the next day, he got a a notification on his job that they cut all the wages by 10%. You know, because so, he didn't think he could make it on 10% less of his income. All of a sudden, his wages got cut by 10%. And he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, I think I can make it fine on 20%, right? 20% less right now." He said, since that day, he never had a problem with tithing. You know, according to his faith, he believed. You know, the reason some people are witnesses to some others, because according to your faith, you believe that it's a priority and you're able to accomplish it. Some people are not holy, set apart for God, because according to your faith, you do not believe that it is a priority. But if you think about it, the things that you believe about God, in relative to your Christian relationship with Him, that's what happens. It's unto you. And it goes as far or as short as you want it to fall. And I'm saying, and that seems so relatively simple, but see, what happens is, we let Satan corrupt a lot of thinking, you know, just like what we talked about moving the mountain last night. Okay, I believe what Jesus said when he said that if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak into the mountain, it'd be removed and cast into the sea. And but if you have faith, according to your faith, God will take care of it. And God's so good. Okay, this 3 weeks ago, well actually with how many weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, we hit a really, really difficult financial. No, for some unexplained reason, I mean, support just last month just dropped pretty much off the map. And I had no idea what to do. And at the same time, God had convinced me that I really didn't need to throw the paper out for a few weeks because I need to be with my boy some. I need to really just be in my studies more. And all of a sudden, and my first thought was, I need to start doing papers again for God to deliver me. But I said, no. I said, Lord, I believe you. I believe what you said. I believe you told me the right thing to do. And so I kept waiting. I helped some people along the way that needed some help. I kept doing all the things I normally do as far as faith and giving. And it got to a place that at two accounts, a total of negative $1,244. Because, you know, if you have those automatic bills, they don't care if you have money or not. They just take the money, right? So I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? I said, this is starting to look bad. The bank had called me a few times. I mean, got a great respect for the bank. And I said, give me a week, and we'll see what. Surely God will do something. And so I just kept praying and letting it stand. And all of a sudden, unexpected, some person that I really didn't expect it from, the church sent me $1,500 to take care of our needs, and just out of just left into God's hands, and didn't miss a meal. Everything was taken care of, and I just waited on God, and God did that according to my faith. Because I believe that God still takes care of those situations. You know, God showed me that these feeble hands cannot take care of me as good as He can take care of me. And as you notice, I didn't come here, I didn't ask anybody for a dime, I didn't even ask you to pray. Because according to my faith, He could take care of me. And He did. God is able to take care of those things, the very basic things we do. And what happens in your life and what happens in my life is according to your faith. And see, Satan would have you not blame God to say He can't do this and God can't do that. But the things that you believe in your, and like I said, just think about your own Christian life. You do exactly in your Christian life. And what happens in your Christian life is not only exactly what you believe God can do, but it's only what you believe God can do. Because many Christians used to be faithful to God in areas that they're not right now. Because it's no longer according to their faith do they believe that God is able to do that. And I was so glad. I'm glad that happened to us. Because sometimes you can kind of get dependent on people and things and what you can do. And I'm glad God allowed that to happen to me. Because I remembered again that God could do anything. You know, and just being faithful to preach the Word of God and just doing things like that and be according to your faith. Now, I'm not talking about thinking, you know, and like you said, like, let me pick on my culture for a minute. See, where I'm from, black people go to church. And they just go to church, you know, and you know what they get out of it? Exactly according to their faith. They believe it's important to go to church. And so, I can't really say that statement, but that last statement I said was true, but I was thinking of something else to say that I can't really say, but they believe that, I mean, they'll be at church. I mean, no matter what they did Sunday night, or Saturday night, however late, they will be at church, and they will accomplish in their religion exactly according to their faith, that priority. Now, they don't really come to hear the message. Well, I'm making a generalization, but I'm speaking from the culture of the church that I grew up in. And if they don't come to really hear from God. They don't come to plan to change their life according to the Word of God, but they accomplish according to their faith what they were planning to do. They made it to church. I mean, they'll be there hungover. They'll be there barely, but God never changes their life, because that is all that God is able to do in them, is just to get them to church and to sit in the seat. And that may be your culture too, I don't know, but I can only speak for mine. And that happens a lot in religion. You know, God is just strong enough and just mighty enough to allow them to eat through and survive the week and make it and come endure another one of poor Pastor Harper's sermons. Amen. That's all he can do. Except by the grace of God, maybe a few that according to their faith, they believe God can do a little bit more, because they hear the message, they hear the Word of God, and it's, you know, that preacher ain't nothing, but that Bible sure is something. Man, I don't care nothing for his preaching, but that Bible is right. I can't help but look at that. And the Word of God says something. That actually means what it says. God, that's why when I was 18, I said I'd never be a Christian. Because I saw people faithful to church. I mean, faithful to church. Service after service after service after service. And their life dead as a hammer. That's pretty good. But then, by the grace of God, when I was 25, I met a few people. They said, they talked about being saved and they knew it. They started talking about, and they talked about Jesus like they knew him. And they talked about, when they talked about God and religion, they were happy about it, amen? There's a witness in the house, anybody with me? And I thought, wow, that's different. And I began to hear something about faith, and I began to realize it according to the faith. God can work. I used to think church was just an add-on, and religion just an add-on. And I thought, man, I'm not going to go to church, and just, why should I push myself to go to church and be like all these other dead people around? All they do is make it to church. God means nothing in their life during the week. But according to their faith, they're not going to miss church. They're going to make it. They're going to do it. But according to your faith, what can God do? The reason people compromise is because according to their faith, all of a sudden something they see is greater than God. And according to their faith, this thing that is drawing their attention away from God is a greater priority than God himself. You know, the only reason I'm still here today is because I finally came to the realization that according to my faith, faithfulness in preaching has become even more important, a more important priority than the response to preaching. Because I would have missed out on such a great joyful moment if I didn't believe that. It's been a long time since somebody got saved around here. But God just said, keep being faithful. Just keep being faithful. We've been preaching a long time about revival. About loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all the strength, all your mind. The only person you're talking about is me. But it's still right, amen. And just because you're talking about me, just because you didn't say anybody, that don't mean you're not pursuing. But it's just one of the things, but you know what? But the according to my faith. Yeah, God knows exactly what you need. And according to my faith, I still believe that no matter where your life is today, God can change your life. Why wouldn't even come to church this morning? I believe there's people here that are saved. And that God is trying to take them to a life that resembles Bible Christianity. Not what we see everywhere else, Christianity, but I mean Bible Christianity. People with zeal and excitement about God and people that love God and they want to talk about God. And this world is just we really are just passing through this world. We're not digging in deep, but it's like this world, it's just temporary. And I believe there are people here that are without Christ that God would like to save today. But it'd only be according to your faith. And because that, according to your faith, I was getting excited. I had a good time with the Lord this morning, just other things too. And then got ready to go to church, couldn't find my keys. Just a little thing, I looked everywhere, been ready to go, family's ready for me, you know. They're on time, and I'm looking for my keys everywhere. And lo and behold, Michael found out. I put them on top of the roof of the van, of all things, you know. I thought, praise the Lord. I mean, I can tell. I know God wants to do something today. But Satan's really trying to get me distracted just by using something simple. You know, so I just kept singing as I looked at my keys. And I was thinking about the message. And I said, Lord, I was thinking about what I was going to preach. And I said, Lord, now this don't seem like much to you maybe, but I said, Lord, according to your faith, according to my faith, Lord, I believe you can, would you show us where the keys are? And I specifically said, and I felt the leadership of the Holy Spirit to say us and not me, though I was looking for them. Because so many other times I prayed that for me to find them. When we lose something, unfortunately I've lost the key before. And I said us. And a few moments later, the buzzer rings and Micah was on the intercom. He had the keys, you know. And I thought, praise the Lord, you know. Now, getting back to Wednesday's message, faith is greater than mustard seed, move the mountain. I just simply asked God to help us find the keys. How much faith was that? We probably can't even see that. I mean, keys compared to a mountain, that's nothing. But can your God do things like that? I mean, apply to no thing? You know, there's nothing that, nothing is impossible for you. That's what God said. But see, God, to many, God can't do something like that. Because they really don't believe that God has that much of presence in our daily lives. And that's why so many people don't have any vibrant relationship. Think about it. That's why there's no zeal. I mean, really, if God can't take care of everything, then where's the zeal for? Why encourage someone to trust God? And that's why so many people wore out trying to serve God. Because they're trying to do it all. They're not dependent on God. And it's nothing according to their faith. It's according to their personal strength and according to their personal might. And if you use your might to serve God, you're going to get weak and you're going to get weary and you're going to quit. But if you ever get to the place where it becomes according to your faith, and you say, no, God, this is right. And we're just going to do it anyway. You know, sometimes God gives commands. You know, one of the things I learned when I was in the military, when you were given instruction, it wasn't up for debate. You know, and I was thinking about when I was at West Point, I only went for 1 year when I was at the military academy. And I went through the first year, which is called the plebe year. And basically, it's the whole year, they treat you pretty much like nothing, you know, because you have no rights, no privileges. I mean, it's just like, it's a year of total humility, you know, that, yeah. I mean, to the eyes of the world, I mean, from where I'm from, it's a prestigious thing to go there, to this academy. But everybody, while you're there, they don't treat you like you have any prestige whatsoever. You know, they just like they could just would pick you up out of the alley as far as they're concerned and be just as important, you know, and in their eyes, you know. And by the way, people that are in their alley are very important because they need to be saved by the grace of God. But I was looking at my life and I thought, you know, God did exactly work for me what I need. He was trying to humble me, so I would realize that I'm nothing. And so that when I would hear a message about him, I could realize that he was everything. And I'm so thankful. I look back on things like that in my life, and I'm so thankful that God put me through those things. Now, think about your faith for a moment. How much of a presence does God really have in your life? Okay, some would be filled with the Spirit, as the Bible commands. But according to their faith, they don't believe that God is able to do that. Well, how do you know? Well, where's the love? Where's the joy? Where's the meekness? Where's the goodness? Where's the temperance? Where's the faith? We hear these Bible commands, but where and God is doing exactly in their life what they believe He can do. It's great when you talk to someone about salvation and you see they believe it. And because you can, and anyway, thank God for salvation. And if you're saved, you ought to be happy about it. I mean, that's what the church exists for, man. To glorify God and to see people, other people glorify God. And our countenance and our being glorify God. I mean, that's why we pass out tracts. That's why we witness. That's why we invite people to church, right? Amen. That's why you bring people with you, amen, for that very reason. And some do it and some don't, because according to their faith, it's not really that much of a priority. What can God do for you? And I really shouldn't say it like that, because see, that just betrays our own selfish nature. But what could God do with you if you let Him? Because that's where so many get distracted, about what could God do for me instead of what could God do with me. Because we're servants. And we're friends of His, but we ought to really rest in Him. Matthew 6:33 said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And some are able to do that for some reason. But others, but according to their faith, they don't really believe that's a priority, so God never gets first place. How much is your faith working for you? Now, I'm not talking about what you're doing for God. I'm not talking about your Christian service. I'm asking you a question right now. I want you to think about this. What is it that your faith is really doing for you? Christianity as a whole, faith doesn't really seem like it does very much in people today. They worry, they fret, love the things of the world, dig in deep to the world, everything the world loves. It's the same strength of the Christian. Churches use worldly methods to get people. Us, though. And you know what? Brother Bell, you know, he told me yesterday, he said, you know what? He, for some reason, God put his heart to say this. He said, "I just want to encourage you while you're meeting in that library, just remind you that you have absolutely everything that your neighborhood needs." He said, "You don't have a building, and you may not have a Sunday school or a nursery in this, but just, you have everything that your community needs. You've got the Word of God, and you've got God, and you've got the Holy Spirit." And I thought, according to my faith, that's right. Now, that didn't stop from some hope in the future that we might be able to help people in a greater way. But people have to be safer. Church had to grow. People have to become servants. They have a desire to do those things for people in the community. But thank God for having everything. And if you, I assume since you're here, according to your faith, you believe that's enough. Some of you have been faith for a long time. According to your faith, you believe that's enough. But according to our faith, we need to start taking God at His word. We need to be filled with the Spirit. God needs to be first in every way. God gave us a great commandment again. According to your faith, when will that become a priority? And only you and God know where it is. That's not an accusation. According to your faith, when will the great commandment be a priority? According to your faith, when will God mean something more to you than just attending a church service? When will God control your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, your habits? When will that happen? I won't name them. I used to name them, but I'll just say that I used to do many sins before I got saved. But according to my faith in the Word of God, I found out God could take away sin. And things that people said were habits and addictions that I couldn't be, that people just couldn't be free from. I found that according to faith, God could free me from them. Because if you look at verse 29 again, it's really just having a meditation mostly in verse 29, but he says, look, notice what it says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. There's not very many limitations there in that verse. In fact, well, the only limitation would be faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so believing in the Word of God, according to your faith, according to the, which is the faith, the Word of God, it can be unto you. Some people never experience the forgiveness of God, don't believe God can forgive them. Because according to their faith, they don't believe it. Some people never believe their life has really any value. They're constantly looking in the world for someone to authenticate them and tell them they're somebody and want them to believe them so they feel good about themselves and they get their status from the world. Because they, according to their faith, they don't believe what God said when he said they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Some people constantly change themselves. Some people disfigure themselves. I talked to a young girl in our neighborhood. She just changed, dyed her hair to red. And I said, can I tell you something that I would tell one of my own children? I said, look, would you please understand that God made you a beautiful person and you're fearfully and wonderfully made? I said, stop changing what God made. I don't mean to offend you, but I said, I'm just telling you the truth, amen, because nobody else around here going to care enough to tell you that. So I tell everybody else in the room the same thing. Get the message. God didn't make a mistake when he made you, so don't try to improve upon what God made. Because when you try to improve upon God made, who is perfect in every way, you mar perfection. And then you just become a gazing star. See, people don't realize, you know, a lot of times people turn their heads in this world, you know why? People turn to heaven and they see strange things, amen. Now that's going to sound mean, but I'm just telling the truth, amen. I look back, you know, I look back to my pictures. I remember once I had on these tuxedo shorts. I had on this shirt. I had this hat. I had on these white suspenders. And I had these white Poindexter shoes. And I remember strutting around places, man. Like, I look back to them pictures, man. They weren't looking at me because I was cool. I look stupid. I look stupid. And sometimes, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean any harm, sometimes you look stupid too when you mar the image that God made. And some of us, many of us have been there. And everybody, Brother David, we can look back, Brother Bays, you know, some of those old hairstyles we used to do, and some of the things we thought we were something, you know. And but according to your faith, if you don't believe that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you're constantly trying to work and change and change and change and change. It'll be never ending. God does exactly in your life what you believe he can do. The reason you stay discouraged, the reason you continue to live a life without real victory in Christ, you may not be on drugs, you're not whatever, you may not be bottomed out. But I mean, some people in the street, you know what sad thing? Some people in the street live a lot freer, contented lives than people that have houses and cars and lands. You know, I mean, our society looks down on people that live in the street. And some of them are actually a lot more content than people that have all this stuff, but they're still trying to get more and still want more in it. But according to your faith, God can really use you. Because you just have to believe it, though. I say according to your faith because the Bible says there's one Lord and there's one faith. So it's not doesn't matter what the world says, there's not a whole lot of different ones. There's one Lord and there's one faith. So the one faith is your faith, but you just have to believe it. And if you believe it, then you'll begin to walk in it, you know. But we just have to start hearing from God. I was thinking the other day, you know, whenever I used to, I've been in ministry since, oh, and not that experience means anything. I was a youth pastor starting by 97, I think. No, before that, no, 90, wow, 94. Now, see, with all the years that people When I got saved, when I called my pastor for counseling, I'd ask him for something. I'd ask him, then I'd stop and I'd listen. And I thought through the years, you know, most people want to be, when I was a youth pastor, even going into pastoring, most people when they call for counsel, they tell me, they talk to me forever. And many times I never even get to tell them, give them any counsel, because they really wouldn't call them to listen anyway. And that's where I stay wrecked, you know. And I look back at people like, and my life was helped because when I called my pastor, I just stopped and I listened. Well, I shouldn't have called him in the first place. Because according to my faith, I believe he has something to say better than I have to say. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying now. The important thing is you get the counsel from God. But sometimes in our prayer and our seeking of God, we know what we want to do already. And that's what happens with counsel a lot of times. People know what they want to do already, so they don't have to hear me say anything because they know what they're going to do. And they're just trying to bounce their idea off me. I mean that in love and sincerity. I just want to be helped and blessed. But there's safety in the multitude of counsels. And I found safety for my life because I counseled with my pastor. And there again, and you have access to the Holy Spirit of God. You don't necessarily have to talk to me. But if you do talk to me, please listen. Please listen, if you do. My prayer is that you'll walk with God in such a way that when you really hear from God, and you'll have everything here, like I talked about, Paul, you have the boldness, you have the courage, you walk forward in faithfulness, and you do exactly what God wants you to do, and you can just rejoice in the walk you have. But if for some reason, it was God's idea that he said he gave some pastors and teachers, and he said for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, if you do call, listen. Because it's for your good. I don't have anything to offer you except the Bible. If I start saying something that's not biblical, then you don't need to listen anyway. Because I'm only going to point you to Scripture that you may not be aware of. That's all the pastors do. Because I'm trying to point you to Jesus Christ. Amen? But it all begins with listening to Him. And the reason many don't have a faith to really hold on to, because when they do pray, one, they're not even hearing from God. Then if God drops somebody in their lap to try to help them, they're not hearing from them either. But my prayer, man, I want everybody to be a... I mean, what would you think right now if a blind man came in here and got healed? That'd be pretty amazing. I mean, a blind person got healed on Wednesday night. Did y'all know that? The Bible says the God of this present world has blinded their eyes and they see not. You felt pretty good, man. Look how you can see. See, you know the happy song, man. That's the beginning of a lot of things, you know. I mean, that's significant. That's the power of God Almighty. And if he does that, I mean, if physically the blind man got healed, that's pretty amazing. Jesus said, well, according to your faith. And why is it just the basic things of Christian living? It's not even according to our faith that we can do it. I mean, I was reading like Amy Carmichael, and again, I mean, these missionaries of old, and how they just sacrificed and labored so content in just miserable, deplorable conditions. And I'd be able to be complaining because the air conditioner's off now, and it's just hot outside, And I said, we. And I finally said, Lord, what am I talking about? I've got it so easy. I've got running water. I've got clean running water. Man, there's so much to be thankful for. And so many little things like that distract us from a life of faith. And constantly, as Christian people, we pursue more comfort. It's always more and more and more and more. Instead of just, when will we get to the place of according to our faith, we really believe that Christ is sufficient unto all things, you know? I was talking to somebody the other day, I was telling him, I said, you know, I'm very thankful I'm married. But let me explain something to you. I said, marriage will never make you content. You better be content in Christ, or you'll be a miserable spouse to somebody. But the great thing about it is, and we'll close with this. Somebody did. You know, when I like this part, because I like this about our Savior. He's giving to heal those blind eyes, and he's trying to tell them how to be explaining her faith. He said, touch them. Touch them. He didn't have to touch him. But touched him. And thank God for our Savior that just wants to reach out. You know what God's really trying to do? He's trying to reach out and touch you. He's trying to save you from this religious existence. Because, you know, look at the passage here. Notice it here. In verse 30, it says, "And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." I thought about it. Why did Jesus tell them not to tell? I think I may address this a different time, but he said, Jesus, I wrote down this note by this verse today. Jesus did not want people to trust him because of what he had done, but rather for who he was. Because see, if you trust God for who he is, there'll never be any limitations to what you can trust him for. But if you're just looking at what he's done in the lives of the people, okay, like I told you, okay, God gave us 1,500. Hey, but what if you need 25,000? Well, God can't give you 25,000. He might not. I'm not saying God's going to bow down to your financial request, but I'm just saying, but if you need it, if you ask, one of two things is going to happen. Is he going to grant it? Or he's going to say, no, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he said, I'm going to gladly glorify you that I'm in this situation. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. But it says, but in verse 31, so here's the thing though. People that really have been touched, you can't keep them silent. Amen. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And that's why, you know, so many times I know churches that are quote unquote successful. They have an organized day of visitation. They have a day during the week. And I'm not saying that's wrong. God bless them. But and they have programs where you teach people how to go out and witness to people. But I just can't help but believe that if God really has touched you, it's going to be hard for you to keep silent about it. I mean, I think we come here and then we encourage you. And what should happen? Okay, you just said it. Your way of thinking about faith changed your perspective. There should be something you said. Hey, I got to tell somebody about this. I mean, I heard when you walked in the door, she stopped. My wife firsthand told her she got saved. And it'll be somebody else that you'll probably tell you got saved. And as you hear about the Word of God, when you get that touch from God about different things, something just has to happen about you. And when I was passing out tracts yesterday, I went to this lady's door. I talked to her. I said, look, I just want to give you this. I want to invite you to church. And here's a booklet here. Somebody gave me one of these several years ago. And it started me on a journey. I said, I think, man, it's almost been 20 years now. And I said, Jesus saved me. And God's been so good. I have to tell everybody I can. You know? And she said, well, thank you. and it just, because that's the reality of who God is. And according to my faith, it still makes a difference. Amen. And there again, that's not a criticism against churches that do those things. But you know what? When something comes from the heart, I mean, if God's really done something for you, you don't have to try to memorize a program on how to do it. You know, you can tell them what God did for you. And if according to your faith, you took the scriptural admonition to be filled with the Spirit, what's filled in is going to come out. Amen. But would you be filled? You can be according to your faith if you believe. God is awesome. According to your faith, be it unto you. God did exactly in your life what you believe he can do. What is God doing in your life? Exactly what you let him do. I wrote this note down. The reason, another note by Amy Carmichael, it says, Satan is so much more in earnest than we are. He buys up all the opportunity while we are wondering how much it will cost. And so many really don't want their faith to go any further than it is right now because they're afraid it's going to cost them something. Many would never want to be in that situation where they're $1,200 in the negative, $1,244. Thank God that he's able. Many would never want to get their life in a situation where they even have to wait on God for anything. Heavenly Father, according to your faith, I thank you, Lord, for being such the God that you are. Lord, I know that you'd like to help some people today. Because you're a giving God. And even when we come as takers, you still give. And I thank you for that character about yourself. Lord, I just pray, Father, I don't really know what needs to be accomplished in all the lives here, but I'm thankful to know that you do. And oh Lord, would you allow, first of all, the people that know you to get a hold of what you said here so they could have a faith that does in their life exactly what you wanted to do. Father, would you free us all from a faith that does what our personal estimation of what it can do, and revive us to a position and a faith that believes exactly what your word says it can do. Father, you said to be holy. I pray there's some Christians today, well, every Christian this year, I pray that they begin a life of faith, living holy. Father, you said to be filled with the Spirit. I pray that every Christian today would take it personal and determined according to your faith that it would be unto them. Father, you said, love your enemies. Father, I pray that every Christian today would take it on themselves that it be according to their faith in your word to love their enemies. Father, you said to seek you first. I pray that it be according to everybody's faith here to seek you first. Father, you said in your word, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I pray for those that are without Christ today, that they would apply the Scripture according to their faith, they would believe and be saved today. Father, whatever the needs are, I pray that you really show everyone very clearly that their relationship with you at this very moment is according to their faith. And will you give them the faith to move their relationship to the position that you want it to be, and give them the faith to believe that it can be where you want it to be according to your very